soar above with those who dare to look at the world from a new perspective and ask, what if? You're listening to The Altitude Podcast from Eagleview.
Hi, I'm Piers Dormeyer, CEO of Eagleview Technologies. On this show, we bring you stories of pioneers who are redefining the boundaries of their fields. Today, I'm joined by someone whose work sits at the intersection of innovation, property, and technology. Lyle Donan is a serial entrepreneur and longtime disruptor in the world of forensic engineering, insurtech, and proptech. He's the co-founder of Source7, a company that's redefining how we use highly accurate property intelligence to assess property risks, and he served on the boards and in the trenches of several ventures. Today, we'll talk about technology, risk, and the power of clarity when it comes to leading through uncertainty. Lyle, welcome to the Altitude Podcast. Thanks for making the time to jump on.
My pleasure.
Just jumping in, you founded and led and advised companies across forensic engineering, insurtech, prop tech, all the techs. To start us off, maybe you can talk about the thread that connects all of these ventures that you've pursued, you know, maybe what drives you, but also a sentence or a word or two on forensic engineering for all those folks that are listening that live in the land of rainbows and unicorns and don't experience problems.
Yeah, sure. My background with forensic engineering is in serving the property insurance industry as a core focus. But my prior business, Donan Engineering, I describe it as a three-legged stool. The first leg of that chair is an actual engineering company, civil, structural, mechanical, electrical, geotechnical engineering, roof consulting, very traditional engineering business focused on investigation of the origin and causation of damage. The second pillar of that stool is a fire investigation business where all day, every day, they're out trying to determine the origin and causation of fires for property and other assets. And the third and final leg is a business that's focused on the failure of household appliances, plumbing components, and other mechanical systems where those systems fail and cause property damage. And the reason why we spend so much time being the CSI version of Consumer Reports is that property insurance companies pay claims when these products malfunction and cause damage. And then they want to see if they can pursue a recovery of the money that they spent in those claims. It's an industry called subrogation. And so in my life, we were lucky enough to build what is the largest product testing laboratory business in the country. And that was the third pillar of the stool.
Some of the things that we talk about on this particular podcast is really around change and especially in volatility, but you've seen the industries change so much and technology is reshaping things. But given that we know it's totally inevitable and it's coming, particularly with all of these new advancements, from your perspective, how is tech reshaping the way that we assess risk, especially in insurance and property and subrogation, some of those areas you just talked about?
Everything I do, Piers, is kind of through the lens of how do I leverage the smartphone? The smartphone is the one piece of technology that virtually everyone I meet, everywhere I go, we all have one in our pockets. And to me, it's probably the single greatest disruptor and opportunity generator in my lifetime. This unique piece of technology that we didn't have before, and now everyone all of a sudden has it once. And I think we're really in the early stages of the transformation of what the smartphone is enabling us to do. A good example of that, Piers, is a company of mine called Source7, which I tell folks is becoming the Carfax for every single appliance, HVAC system, and water heater installed in America and Canada. The data and applications for being able to have Carfax for everything inside of our home that we enjoy until it breaks, and we really enjoy until it breaks and causes potentially damage inside of our homes, is really transformational. And there's infinite applications for this sort of intelligence. But none of that would be possible if you didn't have a smartphone camera, because it's the smartphone camera and the ability to take a photograph of an appliance or a manufacturer's tag on a product and then instantly get back all this information about that individual product, again, for a variety of applications around real estate and property insurance, property underwriting, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm sure that this has got a long way to help mitigate, you know, fraud in some of those areas as well, right? I mean, there was without that tool and the metadata attached to that particular photo, that's pretty important.
One of the things about fraud is it's a manipulation of the truth. And if you want to be successful in that manipulation of the truth, you have to be a really good storyteller. If you're going to commit fraud, you're going to tell a story that is either with fictitious information and or the elimination of fact. The beautiful thing about the smartphone and all the metadata and all the photos that we take is that we can validate the integrity of the image. And then if the image is in fact true and real and has not been manipulated, it has integrity, and then we use these images in a logical, sequential way, then it becomes virtually impossible for someone to either omit the truth by not including a photograph with integrity, or to manipulate the truth and tell something about an image that is actually not true. And so when you talk about fraud, the smartphone is essential. And I do believe that the smartphone is going to ultimately be the data collection vehicle that will transform our efforts to combat fraud.
It's funny when we talk about this, especially back in the early days of EagleView when we were first coming out with our roof reports, I couldn't tell you how many hundred times we would get this request to put an edit button in our report. So someone could kind of come in there and say, okay, well, I want to change the waste factor or do one of these things. And we were just like, no, not that I think all of our customers are crooks, but it's like one in 10,000 tries to use that as a tool to commit some fraud or get one up on an insurance company or an adjuster. It'll just crush the brand. I think that knowing that that data is completely locked down and is the closest to truth is incredibly important.
If I can, Piers, you and I both have a background in roofing and certainly claim investigations related to roofing. And earlier in my career, I spent a lot of time investigating suspicious roofing claims. And my favorite method of calling out a suspicious roofing claim when in fact fraud was being committed or something other than a full and complete and accurate story of what's going on in the ground, I would like to say to folks that hail's not afraid of heights. Hail comes out of the clouds. It's sure as hell not afraid of heights. And so if you want to find out whether hail damages something or not, just go someplace on a piece of property where a human being is not willing to go because they are afraid of heights. And when you go to those places where humans won't go, but hail should go, you're going to be able to determine the difference between fraud versus reality.
I never thought about that before, but that's pretty brilliant. Of course, you would come up with that. But yeah, outside of insurance, I mean, you've been all over this property tech. I think the kids are calling it prop tech these days because you got to make everything sound cool. It's growing all over the place. What do you see the implications of more of this more accurate real-time property data for real estate or regulators? Where else do you see this going?
I think that that's a super cool question, and it's a really important topic. I've spent the first 20 years of my life serving the property insurance industry, but always with a fascination on things like realtors. I myself have worked with realtors to buy houses and sell houses. I'm fascinated by what they do. I have a brother that's a commercial real estate appraiser. I'm fascinated about the appraisal process. In 2008, when the market collapsed, it was because we have a housing finance macroeconomic problem that sort of led to that economic depression that we all went through. That fascinates me. So I've always had a real curiosity about what's happening in the real estate space, even though we've lived most of our lives in the property insurance space. So for the last 5 or 6 years or so, I've really been leaning into this thing called prop tech. And I'll give you a really key example about a company that I think is really going to make some waves in prop tech that are going to actually need to be paid attention to in the insurtech space. It's a company called Homeowner AI. And for those that haven't heard of Homeowner AI, go check them out. But it's not an accident that CoreLogic, which is now Cotality, and Fidelity, two of the largest brands in the real estate data industry, have both invested in this company called Homeowner AI that most people have never heard of. And it's a pretty cool business because what they're building at Homeowner AI are digital hubs of every home in America. And those hubs are designed to be given to the owner and the people who live and own those houses. And so it's a B2B2C business. So the brand Homeowner AI is not going to be in front of you. But let's say Keller Williams could be, or Sotheby's, or Nationwide Insurance Company. It doesn't really matter what the brand is on these portals, but we're giving them away to homeowners, and homeowners are using them in a metaphor to your health portal. So for example, if your doctor or your hospital gives you a health portal for you as an individual, and all the data that flows into that, it's around you and your health and your wellness and any chronic issues and medications you may take, apply that same narrative to your house. And then think about all the data that we can aggregate, both external data and interior data around your home. And that becomes then the portal that homeowners are going to every single day for everything like, is my home value going up? I want to get estimates for renovations and restorations. My dishwasher broke. Somebody's got to come fix my dishwasher. You can do all these things and literally hundreds of other activities around the home inside these portals. And for us to think that's not going to have an impact in the home insurance market is crazy. The data being generated in the prop tech space, just in this one example, has countless applications for underwriting, risk management, and claims in SureTech space or property insurance space.
We've reached a new cruising altitude here at this point in the discussion, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you, our listeners, about a very exciting new capability we recently launched at EagleView. EagleView One is our new premium digital user experience. It offers a unified access point to the full power of EagleView's unrivaled 3D visualizations, imagery, and analytics, and puts powerful AI, precise 3D models, and all the tools and data that EagleView offers all in one easy-to-use, modern platform to help make your projects smoother, faster, and more efficient. Built to scale into the future with your business needs in mind, EagleView One will be continually updated to bring you new technologies and to further enhance the ability to integrate EagleView's extensive and powerful asset intelligence into your existing workflows. To learn more about the transformational experience EagleView One offers, visit EagleviewOne.com. That's EagleviewOne.com. This is one of those things where it kind of makes you wonder why we haven't gotten there already. So I think a lot about the mortgage real estate space and why we're not using a whole lot more of the data that's been available and has been being used in insurance for years, maybe decades. And I do feel like that's the next frontier. I think it's actually a little insane that every home, the one that I'm in, doesn't have a score associated with that dishwasher and my HVAC unit, and certainly the roof, right? Given how big of an expense and a headache that is, one of the first things you ask about when you look at buying a house. It's kind of crazy that you don't have that scorecard, because then a homeowner can easily manage their investment. They can manage their repairs and their warranties and really kind of understand what their cash flow and what they need to plan for, I guess.
I don't think I was the first person to make this up or say this, but homes don't have VIN numbers. It would be a lot easier if they did. So the best moment when we structure data on a home is not actually when we build it, because most builders don't do this, but it's when we transact a home and somebody does a home inspection. And so that's arguably the best moment to take all the information and structure it objectively and build that digital model of a home. And I totally agree with you. It should be on the type of roof. How old is the roof? What is the condition of the roof? What are the future needs of that particular roof? Down to the dishwasher and the water heater. And by the way, it can include the windows. It's really no part of the home, in my humble opinion, is truly maintenance-free. And so getting structured data around that and being able to plan proactively versus reactively is the way you optimize not only the performance of the home, but you optimize the investment you're making in the home, which for most Americans is the most important financial investment they'll ever make in their lives.
Yeah, just to beat on the topic a little bit more, but one that's really apropos is just there's always been distrust towards contractors, which I think is really unfortunate because they're doing a really hard job and they do really important work. But also with the carriers, and everybody sits and they realize that they're not getting renewed, or they have 6 months to get their property in shape before it gets renewed, and they don't have money for a roof, and almost nobody knows what a roof costs. It's usually 3x what you think it's going to cost these days. But when you look at that imagery of that roof and you see it's all kinds of discolored, there's an oak tree growing out of somebody's gutter. It just looks shabby because people don't think about it. And it's like a little bit of maintenance and a little bit of understanding of that asset would go a long way of avoiding some of these unexpected surprises.
The best claim is a claim that never occurs. The more we can take this intelligence and give it to people in a way that they can easily digest and give them an accurate forecast of the performance of all the wearable components, both in and on their home. It's the guts of the home, the exterior of the home, and the things inside the home that we all enjoy every single day. The more we can proactively give this information to the people that own the home and recommend to them the things they can do that, by the way, are in their own best interests, the more claims we can totally avoid, which, by the way, reduces insurance premiums, makes real estate more affordable. I mean, there's tons of wins for the world if we can just be more proactive versus reactive with the type of data and intelligence that your company and some of my portfolio companies provide.
Yeah, I think you should go do that. You should fix that, Lyle.
I'll get right on it.
Yeah, man. I've joked about this before, but there's a guy that pops out of the closet and takes my CEO card away if I don't mention AI on this show. Pivoting a little bit, what's the role of AI in helping to manage through some of this volatility, impact this space? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think about AI as sort of the guidance counselor that I want riding on my shoulder and whispering in my ear as I walk through life. So I don't necessarily want it to tell me exactly what to do, but I want it to tell me what is it predicting based upon every single incremental piece of data that I'm able to feed it. And so it's really about giving me that guidance that comes from the AI becoming that incrementally smarter with every morsel of data that I feed it along whatever journey that I'm living. So for example, going back to roofing, if I'm going to investigate a roof for hail damage, something I used to do a lot of, I want to start that investigation with not going and looking in the house right away, but looking at your imagery and looking at the weather. Because I already know the address. And if I know the address, then I should be able to tell you everything about the weather which has occurred at that address, not only today, but every day in the past. And if I know approximately when that roof was installed, now I know what the weather has been like at that location for that roof covering going back to its inception. And that's interesting information that doesn't tell me whether the roof is damaged from hail or not, but it's certainly going to be the genesis of AI telling me what should I expect next when I actually pull up in front of the house and get out of my vehicle and start to walk around the outside of the house. What should I expect to see? And then again, using AI, as I start taking photos of the outside of the house, it's retraining the intelligence I've already fed it to say, now that you've given me this, here's what I predict next. And so that's the sort of guidance counselor on my shoulder that I aspire for us to build and for the world to adopt. And that's not just about roofing. It's about literally everything, at least for me, around real estate.
Do you think we ever get to a point where we have an AI that somebody could access, an agent that you could access, type into a prompt like GPT that pulls together all of that data and essentially enables anyone to be able to make some of those calls and at least get a high confidence of whether that's been impacted by the, based on the weather data, the imagery, maybe condition, permit, age, whatever?
Piers, my answer is not only yes, but it's an incredibly confident yes. Like, I would be horribly disappointed if we weren't able to create and build exactly what you just described. Now, is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to be ever 100% comprehensive about the physical built world that we live in? No. But Rome wasn't built in a day. And just because I can't be perfect doesn't mean I don't endeavor to be good. And from good, I want to become great. So I will be very blunt and candid that sort of the narrative that you just described, this large language model of the physical and built world that we all have access to and can interact with in real time about whatever our own unique use case is, that's exactly what I spend my time thinking about and trying to help the people that I work with create within their own specific use case and narrative, but then hoping that each of these businesses and the data that they generate will all go into that same model, Piers, so that we can all take benefit of this sort of structured intelligence.
Yeah, we've built that. And it's one of those things that you just have to be able to feed the data, and then you got to ultimately train to what you need. And there's a certain amount of pre-baking of certain elements that you need to do. But once it's done, you solve major workforce challenges. There's not a ton of people that are wanting to become home inspectors. God bless the ones that do. But if you can make that workforce 3-4x more productive and efficient, I mean, you can change the industry. You can bring a lot of costs down as well, which is going to benefit, I think, everybody.
Yeah. And about on the thread of, let's say, a home inspector, what about enabling the average consumer to have, say, 80% of the intelligence of a super experienced home inspector in the palm of their hand? God bless home inspectors, but there's not enough of them, and we're probably not creating them as fast as we need them. So we're in a deficit. So you solve the problem by taking that information that the home inspector collects and the intelligence that the home inspector derives from it, and put automation around that and put it into a smartphone. We can unlock a tremendous amount of opportunity in that. That's just a simple narrative.
So 2025 has been a roller coaster. So is 2024, frankly. But with all of the macroeconomic turbulence out there, the interest rates, government, regulatory, supply chain, how are you steering your CEOs and leaders through some of those hurdles while still pushing for growth?
Ironically, you're the second person who's asked me this question this week. I was on a call with a executive leader of a large independent adjusting company and property insurance company that you and I know well. But he asked a very similar question. Rather than doing mergers and acquisitions, where do you think we should focus on organic growth? And my answer was that rather than focusing on new customers and transformational initiatives within his business, I was like, just focus on the customers that you already serve, that you already know, and ask them what are the problems that they're dealing with that are high frequency problems that are adjacent to whatever you're doing for them today. And the more uncertainty there is in business, the more I want to focus on existing problems with existing customers. And I have a strong bias, Piers, for really high frequency problems. So the more I can do that, the better. And it's closest to the value that I'm already delivering to that customer. And in my career, the more turbulent the waters become, the more I want to focus on that place for growth.
Love the ones you're with, right?
Yes.
Cool. Well, leave it on a final nugget. You know, I wanted to ask you, you've got a pretty good one here, but if you had to sum up your philosophy, your leadership philosophy in a single sentence, what would that be?
One of my personal hobbies is American history. I think history is cool anyway, but American history is my favorite place to study. And one of my favorite characters in American history is General Ulysses S. Grant, who was commander of the Union Army in the American Civil War. And he was absolutely brilliant, but he's got a bunch of really great one-liners. And one of my favorite quotes is that the art of war is simple enough. Find out where your enemy is, get at him as soon as you can, strike him as hard as you can, and keep moving on. And if I had to summarize effective leadership, it's an incredible bias for action. And I think Ulysses S. Grant says it better than I do.
I think you're right. I think the moral of that story is stay on Lyle's good side. That sounds like a great way to wrap it up, man. But really appreciate you coming on and spending some time.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed this. Thank you, Piers.
That's all for this episode of the Altitude Podcast from Eagle View. Again, I want to extend a huge thank you to Lyle Donan for joining me today. His passion for data-driven decision-making and clarity in the face of risk is inspiring. And thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, give us a follow, and tell your friends to listen in. I'm Piers Dormeyer. See you next time on the Altitude Podcast.